Today, what we're doing is we are concluding a three-part series called All the Wrong Questions, right? Is anybody being challenged by this series at all, learning a little something? I'm glad Karen is. The rest of you, goodbye. See you later. What we're doing, it's where we're exploring the impact of the questions that we ask ourselves every day. Because we do, whether we realize it or not, whether we do it consciously or unconsciously, we ask ourselves questions every day, and we started the series off talking about the question, what does God want me to do with my life? What is it that God wants me to do? Has anybody ever wondered that? Okay, yeah, me too. I'm 48, and sometimes I wonder that. You know, what does God want me to do with my life? And that's the wrong question. We should not be asking that question. The question that we should be asking ourselves is, who does God want me to be? Who does God want me to be? Why? Because you know what? You can do what God wants you to do and not be the person God wants you to be. But you can't be the person God wants you to be and not do what He wants you to do. And so we want to be the people that God wants us to be. Who does God want me to be? Brings me into alignment with what's important to God. Who does God want me to be? It calls us to dig deeper than just simply our actions. Because our actions are an overflow of what's on the inside anyway, right? And so it calls us to, and it leads us to deeper fulfillment. Because, you know, sometimes you can do what God wants you to do and not be terribly fulfilled. And then kind of wonder, am I really doing what I'm supposed to do? This isn't very fulfilling, you know? And then we go to the next spiritual fix, right? Working in the nursery just isn't doing it for me anymore. What else is out there? Maybe I should go volunteer somewhere else. Maybe I should do something else. And we go somewhere else and we look for the sense of fulfillment in what we do. And then what we do ends up changing all the time, right? We move on to the next thing and the next thing. But when we become the people that God desires us to be, it leads us to a deeper fulfillment than simply doing. And then who does God want me to be moves us closer to becoming who God created us to be. And after all, that's what we want to do, right? And so then we talked last week about the question, what's wrong with, right? What's wrong with doing this or doing that? What's wrong with? That the question we should be asking is this wise in the Lord's eyes? Is this wise in the Lord's eyes? Because you know what? You can justify almost anything with the question, what's wrong with, right? What's wrong with cheating on my taxes? After all, the IRS is always stealing my money. Justification, right? What's wrong with a little substance use, you know? What's wrong with that, right? But when we start asking the question, is this wise in the Lord's eyes? It leads us in the right direction, okay? Is this wise in the Lord's eyes? Because is this wise in the Lord's eyes leads us to walk in humility and walk in wisdom. And that's what we want to do. Is this wise in the Lord's eyes honors and respects God as a loving king of our lives because we want to walk in wisdom. All right. And so I want to tell you just something that happened to me a few years ago. And you've probably been there. I know Barb has. you've probably been there in one of those seasons in your life where it's almost like a comedy of errors where it's just like everything goes wrong. And I remember a few years ago, and it was actually the year leading up to planting the church, it just was like everything seemed to go wrong. And I lost a job that I really loved. Our landlord told us that we had to move out. Our car died on us. And I injured my back. And it was all within like this really short amount of time. And I know some of you guys have been through seasons like that. House burned down, car exploded, spouse left me. I mean, just like some serious dookie, you know. And y'all have walked through those seasons where it's just, you know, it's just tough. In fact, we're kind of in a season like that right now. I mean, we just bought this building, and like a few days after we bought the building, one of the tenants brought to our attention that some bricks fell out of the outside wall. So much water had gotten through the roof and it had just corroded the exterior wall and some bricks had literally just kind of just crumbled out, you know. And then just a few days later, yesterday, somebody hit one of the gas meters with a lawnmower or something, and there was a gas leak. Had to call 911. We don't even know how much that's going to cost yet, you know, to put in a new meter. And like all this all the stuff going wrong, back flare up again, you know. And just kind of those seasons where it's like, ugh. And it's difficult. And the question, when I was going through that season where we have to move out of the house, lost our job, all this stuff, the question that I was asking myself was, you guys could probably already guess, why is this happening to me? Why is this? Has anybody ever asked themselves the question, why is this happening to me? Okay, the rest of you are either lying or too lazy to put up your hand, because we have all asked that question, why is this happening to me? Okay? And so why is this happening to me? And here's the thing, of all the questions you can possibly ask yourself, why has the potential to be the most absolutely worthless question in the world? I mean, it's and not only that, like psychology has proven that why is a completely worthless question. Because why puts us on the defensive instead of the introspective. Because when we're going through a season like that, it's important that we take time to be introspective, right? Why puts us on the defensive? Because what happens when we go through something like that and we ask why, what do? Puts us on the defensive. I don't know, I'm a good person. I'm a good guy. I'm a good husband. I'm a good wife. I'm a good employee. I'm a good renter. I don't know why this is happening. I'm a good person. I haven't killed anybody. Like, that's the measure of being a good person, right? Have you ever talked to somebody and they're like, I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. It's like, what? So you're saying killing someone is the only mark of being a bad person. Okay. but it immediately, it puts us on the defensive. And then what happens is sometimes when we ask why, it can actually shut down the thinking side of our brain. So when we go, why? It can shut down the thinking side of our brain. And here's the thing. What is the most common answer to the question, why? Ah, somebody said it. I don't know. I don't know, right? The most common question for why is, I don't know. If you have children and they have ever poured milk on the dog, pulled their sister's hair, broken something just to see what would happen, right? And you ask them why, what do they say? I don't know, right? I mean, it's like, why is this completely almost worthless question? Because the most common answer is, I don't know. And so why is this happening to me can paralyze us. It can cause us to miss the potential blessings that God might want to bring through our troubling circumstance, okay? And so why can be completely useless? So what question should we be asking ourselves when the rain falls and the wind blows in our lives, okay? What is the question we should be asking ourselves? Let's pray real quick. God, we love you, and we ask that you would cause your word to come alive in us. Lord, that you would cause us to be people who are asking the questions that cause us to move forward, that cause us to grow, that cause us to become more Christ-like, that cause us to become more wise. And so, God, let your word come alive in us now and bear good fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Okay? And here Paul the Apostle says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for or to ask sometimes, right? But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And we've talked about that in previous sermons before, where we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. And hopefully you are a person that allows the Holy Spirit to pray through you. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Okay? I'm going to read that again. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. All right? So when you're faced with trials, when you're faced with storms, when everything seems to be going wrong, the wrong question is, why is this happening to me? The right question is, how can God work this for good? The right question is, how can God work this for good? So in the story that I told you about losing the house, losing the job, right, injuring the back, all those things, I didn't get my job back, in case you ever wondered. I didn't get my job back. No one gave us a new car. The old Jeep, remember that? Yeah, the old Jeep died. Those old Jeeps have a tendency to do that. And the old Jeep died. And you know what? We still lost the house we were in. In fact, we had to move from that nice house to some hoopty ghetto shed. In fact, the house that we moved into, the mailman wouldn't even bring the mail up to the door. We had to mount a mailbox on the outside of the porch because the porch was condemned. He wouldn't step on that porch. It was so bad. So it went from all those things to all that. But God was working in the background. God was working in the background because Scripture says that He works things together for good, right? And so He was working in the background. He was causing things to work together for us. He was stretching and strengthening our faith. Hey, guess what? When it was all said and done, our faith was stronger. Okay? And so He was helping me learn to manage my money and manage my business. We went for a couple of years there where we lived off of $14,000 for the year. Family of five, think about that. $14,000 for the year. Okay? You can make that working at McDonald's probably more than that, right? And so, especially these days, they keep pushing for higher minimum wage. I think you can make like $60,000 a year flipping burgers now, so go for it. But he was helping me to manage my money. He was helping me in provoking me to push harder to grow my business. He was helping me to grow in humility. And guess what else happened during that season? He called us to plant a church. What? Yeah. He was working in the background. The right question is, how can God work this for my good? How can God work this for my good? Okay? Because here's the thing about flower gardens. Flower gardens need rain. You ever plant a garden and then you have a summer where it's blue skies every day? What grows? Nothing. Right? Weeds. Yeah. Okay? Flowers need rain. All right? And it's the flower gardens of our lives are nourished by rains and by storms. And so don't get stuck asking this paralyzing question, why is this happening to me? Start asking, how can God work this for my good? How can God work this for good? Okay? So remember we talked about last week, just a couple weeks ago, there's a bigger story happening. There's a bigger story happening. So when your house burns down, your car breaks down, when things are falling apart, guess what? There's a bigger story happening. We don't see it. There's a bigger story happening than just our circumstances. When we focus on just our circumstances, it's almost like if an eagle decided, you know, I'm just going to walk. Wouldn't that be crazy? I mean, if an eagle that can soar the heights and fly the distances decided, I'm just going to walk from now on. Right? They'd be kind of silly because they can see for miles and miles and miles up in the air. When they're down here, they can just see a little bit further. And when we're down here with our circumstances and we don't understand that there's a bigger story, that we can fly higher, we can see the sights, we can see out there as we grow closer to God and we push into Him, it's like, oh, okay, we get a better perspective. Don't get stuck down in your circumstances where that's all you see is your circumstances, okay? Get a higher perspective. And so how can God work this for my good gives us a higher perspective. And so there's something bigger. There's a bigger story happening than just our circumstances. God is working in ways that we can't see. And guess what? If we could see, we probably wouldn't understand anyway. Okay? His ways are higher than our ways. All right? So the wrong question is, why is this happening to me? The right question is, how can God work this for good? Okay? So how can God work this for good? What happens is it moves us from a confined space to an open space. Does anybody here like to be confined? Well, some of my friends on the spectrum like to be confined. They like the weighted blankets. They like to be a little confined. But outside of that, man, they like it. You know, most of us like it out there in the open. We don't like to be confined. And since, you know, why is this happening to me can be such a futile question. It can keep us confined. It can keep us bound. And so what happens is why is this happening to me? It squelches creativity. Right? We don't think very creatively when we're asking, why is this happening to me? Okay? It squelches creativity, and it actually moves us further away from hope. Right? Why is this happening to me? Nobody asks, why is this happening to me? And that question fills them with hope. You know? Why is this happening to me? It moves us away from hope. And why is this happening to me? It moves us away from forward momentum, from forward motion. Because we're locked in that question of trying to figure out why is this happening to me, and that doesn't help. It's paralyzing. It squelches creativity, and it moves us further away from hope and forward motion. The other thing about why is this happening to me is it actually hinders true introspection. And I know that, you know what, we're a culture that has pretty much lost that quality, introspection, right? We really are, because our minds are usually going, why is this happening to me? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. You know, we're constantly addicted to novelty, our brains are, because we're constantly... talk radio. It's like we have to be entertained and experiencing some form of novelty at all times, and we never give our brain a chance to sort of rest and fall into sort of an introspective state and to actually just start thinking and praying and hoping. Okay? And so we need to move into a mode of introspection, okay? Why? Because why is this happening to me hinders introspection. And what that means is because we're not engaged in introspection, we don't grow and we don't mature through our bad circumstances. Okay? And it's important that when things come around in our life that are difficult, that are hard in these circumstances, that we take some time to go, okay, how can God work this for my good? And we kind of meditate on that. And we spend some time in introspection so that we can grow and so that we can mature. And so I think that when people go through hard times, when people get a difficult diagnosis, when people have difficulty in relationships, when people have a hard time financially, and they don't somehow grow personally through it, it's sad because it becomes a wasted opportunity. Instead, it just becomes more of a, why is this happening to me? Oh, woe is me, woe is me. I guess, you know, that God is against me, right? And so when we ask, how can God work this for good? It actually activates our thinking brain. How can God work this for good? And even just asking that question, I don't know about you, but just hearing myself ask that question, I feel almost like a sense of, oh, like something activates in me asking that question. How can God work this for my good? Because I move from a realm of self-pity. Because that's kind of where that why, you know, that why question, why is this happening to me? It fosters self-pity. And can I just tell you something, guys? Forget the main point. If you remember one thing this morning, remember this: self-pity is deadly. Self-pity is deadly. And if you find yourself stuck in self-pity because of your circumstances, you're going to be stuck there and you're not going to grow, and it's going to keep you from moving forward. Self-pity is deadly, and you should be scared to death of it. Okay? All right, that's an aside. That was free. You don't have to pay your extra for that. All right? But how can God use us for good? Activates our thinking brain. It fosters imagination. Okay? Godly good imagination. It fosters imaginations as we begin to think about the doors that God can open. Right? We start to think about the doors that God can open. We start thinking about the miracles that He can perform. And we also start to think about the growth that we can experience. Okay, so we go through a rough patch and we go, how can God work this for good? And we start to thinking, well, I can grow in this area and I can grow in that area, right? So when I lost my job, it helped me to grow in my faith. It helped me to grow in my business. I ran out and, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, okay? But we begin to think about the doors that God can open and the growth that we can experience. Don't get boxed in with why. Explore how. Explore how. All right? Okay, so the next thing is this. How can God work this for good? It opens our eyes to the potential for growth. Because God created us as growing people. People who grow. I just want to tell you, if you look back at yourself 5 years ago, and you can't honestly say that you've grown as a person. Maybe you're a little wiser, you're a little gentler, you're a little more compassionate. If you're the same person that you were 5 years ago, then there's a problem. There's a problem there, and it's not a good problem. It's a bad thing. It's not that there is ever a good problem, right? I guess there can be. But, you know, if you look back at yourself 5 years ago and you go, well, you know, I'm kind of the same person I was, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing because God created you for growth. And so when we don't grow, when we ask why and we make excuses and we get stuck and all those things, we're not living up to how God created us to be, right? He created us with potential for growth and to keep on growing and keep on being conformed into His image, right? And so when we ask, how can God work this for good? It opens our eyes to the potential for growth. When I lost my job, you want to know one of the first things I did is because I had like a very small side business that was just sort of this very fledgling business. So when I lost my job, first thing I did is I went to the library and I checked out books on how to grow my business. So I grew that way. I grew in the knowledge of business. I grew in, you know, how to manage my money. I picked up some books from the library because they were free and I wasn't making any money. You know, yes, go libraries! Yes. Woo! I love the library. And so I went, you know, I got books on how to handle finances and stuff like that. Okay? And so it helped me to grow. When I injured my back, which sometimes it still flares up, I'm on the tail end of a flare up right now, but I researched ways to strengthen it and I grew in health. And so literally, because of an injury, I'm healthier today than I ever have been. So wouldn't you say I haven't been sick in however, how long? I had the stomach flu at the beginning of the year. Does that count? I blame my stepdad. He came over with his flu. But hey, not bad. Not a bad record, okay? And so I'm healthier than I ever have been because of a back injury, okay? Every setback, say it with me, every setback is an opportunity to grow in some area of our lives. Every setback is an opportunity to grow in some area of our lives. We may not feel like it at the time. We might get stuck at ground level at the time. And that's normal. That's natural. Okay? But God has bigger and better plans for us. And He can use it for our good. Every setback is an opportunity to grow in some area of our lives. You know, let a failed relationship provoke you to grow in that area. Okay? Because you know what? When relationships fail, what's the first thing that we do is we slam the other person. It was all them, right? It was all them. It's always them. There's nothing wrong with me. Or we might say something like, I wasn't perfect, but, you know. Let's just get real. You know, every relationship has an opportunity to provoke us to grow in that area. Let failed business move you to read, move you to take courses, move you to push forward. You know, we live in a country where, like, we have this amazing opportunity to be entrepreneurs, to start new things, and I believe that is actually a godly pursuit when we create business, when we create ideas, because God wants economic health, economic healing. He doesn't want us to be poor. He doesn't want people, you know. And so when we have those ideas and we step forward in those things, man, I love it. I think it glory. I would love to see godly entrepreneurs just come into this neighborhood and every storefront with a window boarded up, you know, opened up and seeing a business there thriving and making the neighborhood great. We're doing something entrepreneurial and outreachy too. At the same time, we're putting a thrift store in where that laundromat has sat empty for a long, long, long time across the street. And so, you know, God loves entrepreneurialism. And I know that sounds like American Christian. Listen, it's not. God doesn't like poverty. Okay? God wants us to grow in that way and see economic healing. That's part of the kingdom of God. And so, you know, let those failed business ideas move you to read and take courses. Let a health issue challenge you, right? If you have a health issue, let it challenge you to eat smarter, to get fit, to do some research. Okay? There's so much I can say about that. We have this idea in America that we get sick and we go take a pill, right? We get sick, we're not feeling good, we get injured, we go to the doctor, we get a pill, but we don't do anything really to change our lives and to get healthier and to start exercising and start eating better. And we go, well, just give me the pill, just give me the pill, just give me the pill. Let me just tell you, that's not growing from, you know, that's not letting God work for your good. Not that there's no place for drugs and pills and stuff like that. God bless them. Great, beautiful inventions. But God wants us to get healthier when we get a bad report. He wants us to change our lifestyle when we get a bad report. Have you ever had a relative have a heart attack and they don't change their diet after the heart attack and you get mad? What are you doing? You just had a heart attack. Put that burger down, right? Okay? So when our health isn't good, we need to use that to push us and let God use that to get healthier. Okay? That's what God wants us to do. Let it move. God wants you to grow. Do not let your pain be wasted. Never let your pain be wasted. Never let your pain be wasted. Okay? Especially never let your pain be wasted on self-pity. Don't waste your pain on self-pity. Okay? Become a stronger, healthier, smarter person instead. All right? Because that's one of the ways that God uses our circumstances for good. Because God wants to use our circumstances for good, we need to cooperate with that and cooperate with Him. Okay? Never let your pain be wasted. Any trial can be turned into a testimony. Any trial can be turned into a testimony. And how do we overcome? The word of our testimony, right? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And so don't let your pain be wasted. Become a stronger, healthier, smarter person instead. The last thing is this. How can God work this for good? Moves us from trying to figure it out to trusting in God's goodness. To trusting in God's goodness. Because, you know, sitting there kind of trying to figure it out and trying to figure out and answer the question why, we're not trusting in God's goodness at that time. It's really more kind of moves us closer to self-pity. When you've been betrayed, when you lose your job, when you get sucker punched with a health issue, let it mature your faith and your commitment to trust in God, good or bad. Okay? Can I tell you something? I'm more committed to Jesus today because of my trials than because of my blessings. I want that to sink into you. I love Jesus. I'm closer to Him today. I'm more committed to Him today because of all the crap that's happened to me than I am because of my blessings. Okay? So I really want that to sink in. I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot. A lot. Stuff I haven't even told you about lot. Okay? But here's the thing. Because of who I am in Christ today, if I could go back and do all that over again, I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change. It sucked. Yes. It hurt. Yes. It was awful. Yes. If I could go back in time and punch a few people in the nose, yes. Okay? All right? But I wouldn't trade that in because of who I am today in Christ and how I've grown and because of my love for Him. And so I can thank God for the trials instead of getting mad at God and go, where were you, God? Where were you? I don't mean to mock that question. That's a legitimate question. But I would rather thank God for it and go, where were you? Where were you? Where were you? Because God is good and He's working all things together for my good. Right? Right? Okay, so get this. I hope you guys are grabbing this today. Okay? So hard times are an opportunity to seek Him, to praise Him, to draw near to Him. And how can God work this for good? It opens our eyes to see all the potential ways that God can show His love through our trials and can even help build anticipation for His goodness to be revealed. Okay? Now, I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know why we've got bricks falling out of the building. I don't know why we've got, you know, a roof that needs to be pretty much replaced. I don't know why this back flare-up is there. I don't know why. I don't know why. Okay? But I anticipate that He's up to something. I anticipate that no matter what, when the season's over, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more compassionate. I'm going to, you know, and God will have revealed His goodness and we'll know, and it will be good. And I believe that in your life. Right now, if you're going through a trial, if you're going through just a real suck fest, you know, a season where maybe you're just tempted, God, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why? I'm praying that you begin to ask, how, God, can you use this for good? How is God? In fact, the question really is, God, how are you going to work this for good? God, how are you going to work this for good? I hope you're asking God that question. All right? Because it's going to move you into an open space. It's going to open your eyes for potential growth. It's going to move you into trusting and anticipating God's goodness. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to pray. I want the worship team to come back. And I'd like our prayer team to go ahead and take their spots. If you need prayer today, I want you to get prayer. Even if you're on the worship team and you need prayer, just step down. Except for you, Wendy. You're stuck there. Yeah. Just step down and get prayer. But I want to pray for you. Why don't you stand up with me? Let me pray for you. God, I pray for every person today that is asking why. They're going through circumstances that they can't figure out. It's tough. It's stormy. It hurts. It's tempting to be like an eagle who just stands on the ground instead of an eagle who soars. It's tempting to be stuck in the circumstance, stuck, confined with the why question. Instead, God, I pray that they would even today begin to ask, God, how are you going to work this for good? God, how are you going to work this for good? Lord, we just love you so much. And we pray, Lord, for just your perspective, for your eyes. God, you are awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.